Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I'm joined by Jamika Morrison Jeffries, soon to just be Jamika Jeffries.
Yes.
What title do you want to call yourself? Because you're an entrepreneur, you're a businesswoman, you're a classy lady, you're a lady of God. What?
Man, listen, I am a philanthropist. Which a woman, she told me, she said, you know what philanthropy is, Jamika? I said, what? She said, it's a love of humanity. I love people. Mm. You know, I love helping people in whatever capacity I can serve them. That's what I show up as. So if they need a real estate broker, I show up as that. If they need a counselor, if they need prayer, I show up as that chick. Mm-hmm. So there's not really one definition. So if you were to call me anything, just call me philanthropist.
You have an event coming up.
I do.
And what's the event called?
It's called the Quest for Success Legacy Wealth Builders Conference. And that conference, Jose, I'm so super excited about because we're going to teach people how to create generational wealth through real estate, through entry-level stocks and investments, through insurance even. Also, how to flip houses. It's such a mystery, especially in our community.
And that takes place when?
That's on January 14th, 2024 at the Omni Hotel, downtown New Haven, right in our city.
Big old conference. You got a slew of speakers there.
Oh, yes.
I will be co-hosting with you. Woo! So thank you very much for the invite.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir.
It. But let's get into your story.
Yes.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, my gosh.
And I know you have a beautiful, lovely sister that you always around and has
yes,
around you.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
So I grew up on Mechanic Street in New Haven.
Okay.
In the East Rock section.
Yep, I know.
Yes.
Right.
And I, this is my city. I love my city. I live in Hamden now, but I'm still associate myself with New Haven, the Elm City. My dad, in terms of my childhood, both parents were in the household, thank God. But unfortunately, at the age of 7, my dad was taken away from us with a massive heart attack, going to one of his 2 full-time jobs. Okay, so early morning, that's what we woke up to, sirens and all of that. And so this whole conference, everything, my whole life has been dedicated to helping my mother because she was a 37-year-old widow raising 4 children, like 14, 12, 7, and 2. And she was left with the task of having a multifamily home with tenants, trying to work and trying to figure this whole thing out. So that's been my life's purpose, is just to make my mom proud, to ease her pain in any way I can. And in doing so, just to be a great civic leader to help other people, you know, come out of adversity, out of trauma. You know, however I can be of assistance, that's what I am.
Mechanic Street in New Haven. Childhood.
Yes.
Tell us about those childhood years. What school do you go to? And how was that experience?
I started out at Worthington Hooker, okay, which is like your preschool before you go into the school. And then I transferred to East Rock Middle School. And that was like K through 8th grade. So I was in one school for like 10 years, basically, right? Yeah, pre-K and K. And then Wilbercross High School. That's my alma mater, the Governors. Go Governors. We're just proud of that. And spent my 4 years there. And then I did a little stint at the University of Hartford. Went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And here I am today now as a real estate broker for Diamond Realty Partners.
Now, between that, you spent some time ministry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So how did you get into the ministry?
Listen, it was a complete, I felt like it was like an accident, right? So I was a rapper. A lot of people don't know this, but I was 12 years old, I wrote my first rap. And I just loved the culture. I loved breakdancing. I was a pop locker and all of that. So I had like a little group that I had that, you know, we would go around, do talent shows and all that. And when I was 19, I was shopping my record deal and I was really close to getting one. I did promos too for DJ Red Alert. I did promos for, you know, 94.3 back then for a lot of the shows. And I was really making my way to New York to get with the Hit Squad. I thought I was going to be like the first lady of Hit Squad and work with EPMD and K-Solo, Redman, all those guys. And my sister, and this is a story, my sister had just gotten into church. And she was like, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. And I was like, listen, okay, I don't know about all that. Your church, they stay too long. The seats are hard and it's hot in there. That, I remember I told her that verbatim. She's like, just come. It's friends and family day. So I would tell anybody, you know, most people don't go to church because they haven't been invited. So invite someone. It's really about the invitation. And I went in there June 19th, 1994. And I felt like God was talking to me. And he was saying, you know, what are you doing so much that you can't stop doing and give your life to me? And I started thinking about it. I wasn't nothing. And I wasn't really happy. Even in my pursuit of kind of like a worldly, you know, profession, even though I was really good at it, he said, what if you lost your life today? Do you know where you would spend eternity? That's what the preacher was saying. You know how you go to church and you feel like they're talking right to you? It was that kind of eureka moment. And I was like, I can't take a gamble on that. Life's too hard here. And then maybe I go someplace worse. Like, to me, that was a foreign concept. And before I left that church, it was right when they were about to do the benediction. I stood up and it was Father's Day. And I remember telling the preacher, I said, well, it's Father's Day. I don't know if it's a gift to you or, you know, to my late father. I said, but I came in here today. I was a sinner. I said, and I don't want to be a sinner no more. And that's what started my now almost 30 years in ministry from that day forward, you know. And I want to tell somebody out there, too, that feels like, hey, they start thinking about all the things they have to give up when they make their, you know, give their lives to God. And it's really about not about what you're giving up. It's about all the things you're going to gain. You see, it's like I exchanged my rap gift because I sold all my equipment. I had a crew and my boy Glenn over on Edward Street, right? And I had my studio at his house and I sold everything because I was like, you know, when I went to write a rhyme, I couldn't curse anymore. And then you couldn't rhyme anything in church at that time, right? That was a foreign concept too. So I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to give it up and see what you have in store for me. And then I started to get these musical gifts so I could play the keyboards and I never had a lesson. And then I got on the drums at church one day and I could play them and I didn't know how I knew how to play them. It was like God was saying, there's nothing that, you know, he never makes a withdrawal without making a deposit. You see? Mm. So when you give it up, he says, I'll return back to you 100-fold in this time, you know, with persecution. I had to go through for those gifts, you know, going through different things in life, but he blessed me with a voice to sing. So I was like, what? Like, I wasn't no singer. I was like, I'm a gangster rapper. And you know, even though I lived in like middle class suburbia, I was a gangster rapper, right? Like that makes no sense. But God saved me from a life of, you know, possibly being, you know, killed, taking a different trajectory, maybe drugs. He saved me for a time such as this, and then blessed me with business gifts. As I went along, I knew I wanted to own a business. And hence, that's why I'm here right now, sitting in this chair with you.
You have a book here. Oh my gosh! Go For It.
Yes. And
when did this come about?
I released that book. I finished it probably in January. My book signing was in April.
Of this year.
Of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is a good gem in this book for someone?
Oh my gosh! Well, let me tell you. This is how it happened. I asked God some questions. I had just finished preaching at this outdoor revival, and at the end, I remember standing and it was in a challenged neighborhood, so to speak. And we had a great time. But I was like, there's got to be more than this. You know, we had proverbial church. We shouted. People were saved, set free, delivered, all that great stuff. But I said to the Lord, I said, there's got to be more than this. I said, I still see not enough. I see just enough, but I don't see more than enough. I don't see El Shaddai, which means more than enough in the Hebrew. And God spoke back to me in that field, Jose. And he said, Jamaica, you haven't been doing it right. I said, what do you mean? I pay my tithes. I try to love everybody. I'm faithful at my church. And he was like, no. He said, up until this point, you've been doing churchy stuff. You've been doing religious stuff, but you haven't been doing kingdom stuff. Mm. He says, so what I need you to do is go back to Matthew 6, verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I got happy. I was like, wait a minute. So all this time I wasn't really doing kingdom. Like I was, he was like, yes. He said, there's laws and principles in the earth, and I'm going to teach them to you. They were foreign to you up until this point. And then that's when he took me to Proverbs 23, verse 7, where it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I didn't have a framework problem. I didn't have a work ethic problem. I had a mindset problem. And he started dealing with me about transforming how I thought, how thoughts actually become things. What you think about, you're going to bring about. And he taught me 8 things that I needed to do. And then that's when I saw my career, I saw my life skyrocket. And that was 1,503 days ago today.
And that's how much?
That equates to 4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Abundance.
4 years.
And growth. Growth.
Growth. That's the key word right there. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. And if you're not willing to learn, then you're already dead. See, life is about evolution. It's about becoming, you know, some people feel like, well, I know it all. I've been there. I've done that. I've lived the life. But listen, it's about continuously. That's why they call it continued education. You know, you have to continue to become a better version of yourself. And there's always room for self-improvement. So I got real introspective. Now, here's the other key. And I think a lot of church people who are listening to this can appreciate this. He asked me a question that day. And he said, Jamaica, what do you want? Right? So I was like, well, I said, hey, let me think about this because I don't want to give him, you know, the real thing, right? And this is what he spoke back. And I knew it was him because he said, and don't give me the answer that you think I want you to tell me. What? That was deep. Because, you know, if God asks you, what do you want? Of course, you want to say, well, I want to see everybody saved. You know, I want world peace. He's like, yeah, I know you want that. But what do you really want in your heart of hearts? And I got real with God about what my desires were. And he taught me a new scripture after that, which is found in Mark 11, verse 24. And he said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have them and then you'll receive them. See, the issue with a lot of us church folks is we believe that we got to get it instead of believing we already have it. Huh? You got to become that person before you become that person. In your mind's eye first. You got to see yourself already with the millions, already with the homes, already with the cars, you know, the stuff, all those things. Because let me tell you something. I had a cousin that said, my uncle used to say this, you got to live down here before you get there. Huh? And one of the things I think the church really, and it's not their fault as a whole, but this is what we got to start teaching, is we have to start teaching our people that we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy life, that this earth was put here for us to subdue, to take dominion, to be fruitful and to multiply right here, right now. And when I got that concept, that's when my life changed. And that's when the trajectory went straight up. And I haven't looked back since.
That poverty mindset,
yes,
that there's not enough.
Mm.
That I got to fight my own brother, my own sister.
My Lord.
To step over them to get what I want.
I mean,
how do you overcome that?
Let me tell you what it is. That's called a scarcity mindset. And unfortunately, our people, and I think this dates way back, you know, from when we first got here, from wherever we came from, is that I'm afraid if I tell you how I did it and where I got it from, somehow there's not going to be enough for me and my family. So what I'll do is I get it, I let you see me with it, but you still got to figure it out the way I had to figure it out. And I'm saying to the people today, that day is over. You see, we have to get into an abundance mindset where guess what? If you got a house on the hill, they didn't make just one. All right. And they got some more land that if I got it. But here's my mission in life, Jose, is to tell our people in particular that guess what? You can have it too. And not just you can have it, but I'm going to teach you how I did it. And that's why that conference came about. Because when I was a young woman coming up, I remember reaching out to different people, looking for mentors, you know, somebody just to take me under their wing. I didn't mind shadowing. I didn't mind following you around, right? And trying to, but they closed off to me. So God says, you're going to become the person that you've been looking for. And that's the key to everything, right? And I'm saying, guys, like, we can do it better together. And I'm totally not in competition with anybody. In my world, there's no competition. There's just collaboration. Because I know what I bring to the table. And I'm looking for people that are looking for me. I'm looking for other rock stars. I'm looking for other superheroes to come along with me. Let's fly together to the halls of justice. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do this thing together, because us as a people, we're resilient. We persevere. We've come through so much. And the reason why any dictator, anybody would try to come in and divide people is because when you divide, you can conquer them. But when we come together, we're a force to be reckoned with.
Mm, teach a man to fish.
Yeah, he'll eat for a day. Or no, what is it? Give a man a fish.
Yes.
He'll eat for a day. Teach the man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime.
We talk about vision, having a vision.
Yes.
The law of attraction, we call it, right?
Yeah.
That's the book, Law of Attraction, older than dirt.
Oh,
the
my concept, gosh.
But
yes.
Very new to people in this day and age.
Yeah, and that's the thing, bro. What most people have known for years, we're just now waking up and finding out about it, right? Because where there's no vision, the people perish. And that's what's been happening. Most people don't get what they want in life because they don't know what they want. They're just working to pay bills. They're working for the weekend. Somebody wrote a song about it. You're in radio, right? Work for the weekend. Everybody's, you know, the rock stars made songs about it. You know, but there's so much more to life than just a weekend. Sometimes I don't even know what day of the week it is, because every day of my life is like a Friday. You understand? Mm-hmm. I live my life in a perpetual state of gratitude, right? Because he said, Paul wrote this. He said, listen, for I have learned it. See, and that's the key word. You got to learn this new way of life. You got to learn this new perspective, because by nature, you're naughty by nature, right? Mm-hmm. You were born in sin, shaped and formed in iniquity. But he said, for I have learned that whatsoever state I find myself in, therewith be content, therewith be thankful, therewith be grateful. And so I don't leave my house without doing my particular ritual. You understand? Which starts with gratitude. God, I just thank you for waking up. And then I reach over and touch my husband, make sure his stomach is still going up and down, right? Thank you for waking him up. Mm. Hey, if I'm alive, this is a great day because I can make it great.
Wow. You're listening to the Electric Drum here on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, joined by Jamika Jeffries, author of Go For It. And your conference again, January 14th, is called
Quest for Success Legacy Wealth Builders Conference
at the Omni Hotel. And it starts at what time?
So the doors are going to open at 11. And I encourage everybody, I know that's a thing I want to dismiss. All right. Us coming late to everything. Get there at 11 to make sure you get in the building, because we want to start right at 12. We got a lot to cover, and we want to make sure that everybody gets this information in a timely fashion.
Can you mention some of the people that are going to be speaking there?
Yes. So I'm super excited. I have Alan Stewart of Yellow Brick. He owns several businesses, and this gentleman has flipped over 100 houses in Connecticut. Mm. He owns an insurance company. He owns just several things that he's involved in real estate. He's a colleague of mine. We do a lot of speaking together, and he's an amazing speaker, kind of Tony Robbins-like in his delivery. But he's going to teach you how he did it, and more importantly, how you can do it. The second one I have is Mr. Kieron Bryce. I call him the king of Airbnb. You know, Bobby Brown always got, he already got king of R&B. Mm-hmm. This was the king of Airbnb. Mm. And this young man has managed to become a working millionaire. Everybody thinks you got to quit your job and become an entrepreneur. No. He's learned how to keep this thing going. And guys, he owns several Airbnbs that net him in upwards of, you know, $300,000 a year in passive income. Okay. Next, we have Flory Hayatridis, super entrepreneur. She's a mathematician, professor at Iona College, and the founder of Awakened Events. She does mindset coaching. And let me tell you, she's going to teach the people that day how to create a business that you can scale, a scalable business that you could scale and then sell off for millions down the line. You got to have an exit strategy. That's the other piece. Then we have M&T Bank, who's my major sponsors. They're sending in their mortgage team to talk about financing, talk about how to get the money, how to get prepared to get the money, to get the homes, to get the businesses, okay? And then I have William Boyd, William Michael Boyd. He is a business finance guru. All things you want to know about, if it's stocks, investments, how to prepare, because that's a mystery to most of us in our community. And my job is to demystify what everybody else has been able to multiply. You know what I'm saying? It's time for us to know. Yes, our parents didn't teach us. Yes, we were too busy trying to survive and not know how to thrive. But now, when you hear his voice, heart or not your heart, the information is going to be in that building. And the only one that's going to be to blame if they don't get it is the listener tonight.
Let's get back to you.
Yes.
Let's get back to you and, yes, and this mindset that you have.
Yes.
Strong Black woman. What you got to say to these young Black girls in the neighborhood right now doing? Because a lot of the crimes and a lot of the shootings nowadays, it's the young ladies that are taking over that position. I mean, what can you help with that mindset?
You know, I wish that the schools, more schools, if there's any superintendents or anybody in the education system out there, I have a team of women, business women, who want to go into the schools. You know, I feel in our culture, if we can see it, we can be it, right? And when you keep pushing negative images in front of our young ladies and showing them this dynamic of what they think a Black woman is, then they begin to emulate that. And I'm saying, let's switch out the pictures, huh? Let's switch out, you know, and I won't even say it on here, but let's switch out the negative vision, the negative image, and position it with a woman who's right here in your town, all right? Somebody who's making it, somebody who's been on those same streets, somebody that ran those same streets as you, but can tell you how to get out of a street mentality, who could tell you how to build for you and your family. That's what I'm going after today. Last year, my message was, I'm taking them out of the trap house and putting them into the penthouse. You understand? Because a trap house, you know, that's where they keep the drugs. That's where they keep the money. That's the stash house. But God says they need to see that that's not all there is. There is a penthouse. So much is so. Those who get the VIP tickets get to join me that night in the penthouse to celebrate my birthday. And again, I say, if they can see it, then they can be it. And I believe that they need that image. And guess what? A lot of people are running away from responsibility today, saying, oh, I don't want to be a role model. I don't want the responsibility. But guess what? The greater the call, the greater the responsibility. And I'm like, God, here I am. Use me.
Who was that helping hand to you?
I mean, what I had to do, Jose, was I had to go on YouTube University. And I was seeking. And when you seek, you'll find. I was looking for people to teach me about the kingdom. And the first people that I located was a pastor out of Ohio, a Caucasian pastor named Pastor Gary Cassie. And the next one was Dr. Miles Monroe, who's, you know, long gone now. But their teachings helped to build me into the person I am now. And then as I began to keep learning and seeking, I found people like Bob Proctor, like Brian Tracy, like Dr. Wayne Dyer, like John Assaroff, like so many people that showed up that I never had even heard of that had the same problem that I had, seeing not enough, just enough, but wanting more for their lives. And I want to say to the people out there, you got to want more. There's a Chinese proverb that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Right? So in this case, we're teachers out here. And there's some people, you know, because you get so much negativity, so much pushback when you are trying to move forward. And I'm saying, guess what? Here I am. I'm a person that's saying, I want to help you. I want to mentor you. No strings attached. No ulterior motives. No bait and switch. It's just the real authentic me.
I want to talk about that because sometimes people have anxiety sharing themselves. You know, yes, in this day and age, more and more I hear about artists and people stepping up and they have this anxiety because of all the negative pushback. And can you just, I guess you're testifying is the help that you've received has come from places that you did not expect. They're not the people that were immediately around you, your circle of friends. It came from somewhere else in a mysterious way.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying. And when you're ready, you get open. See, a lot of us are closed off, right? We don't want certain people telling us certain things. We don't want certain cultures of people to tell us anything. But when you're hungry, you don't care what color that hand is that has the food in it. You see what I mean? When you're hungry, you don't care what receptacle it's coming out of. You got to eat. And so for me, I was hungry for information. I was hungry for change. And change is the first step to awareness. Awareness is the first step to change, right? So you got to become aware that you first need help, right? And then after that, yes, God will begin to send you places. What I had to do a lot of times, unfortunately, I had to leave the area for conferences to build me up so I could get around other like-minded people, because I didn't see anything happening in Connecticut. I didn't see anything happen in New Haven. So I'd have to fly to Miami, Dallas, Chicago, LA to go to these conferences to get built up. And then after a while, I said, you know what? I'm tired of flying all around the place. And then it was like a light bulb said, why don't you make your own conference? Bring it here so it could be accessible to the people. You may not have $500, $5,000 to spend on a VIP ticket. So what God allows me to do is go spend the money, get the knowledge, and come back and feed the sheep.
There you go. Because it is expensive. Yeah. I mean, it is not. These conferences.
Yeah. But guess what else is expensive? The cost of not knowing. Huh? The cost. You know how expensive it is? If you made $50,000 last year, but you know that you're a millionaire person, you should have made a million. You know how much it cost you not to know how to make the million?
Yeah.
$950,000. So that's the most expensive mistake a lot of people are making, is the not knowing, the ignorance, you say. And I'm saying it's time for you to get educated about your future, to invest in yourself. And guess what? When you invest in yourself, it's just a law. There's a law that precedes the law of attraction. It's called the law of vibration. And most people are vibrating at a low frequency. You still AM when you should be FM. Huh? You still FM when you should be, serious. Come on, somebody. You should be internet now. You should be HD. You understand? But you only get that way when first it starts with defining what it is you want, then deciding I'm going to get it no matter what. When I got into real estate because my husband got hurt on his job and I was the only person that really could go out and work for us, I burned the boats that I came in on. I bought my books on a Friday. I was in class on a Monday. 5 weeks later, I had my license. And then I was like, I can't go back. This has to work. So I had to make a decision that I was not going to retreat, that this was going to work this time. And this is what I'm going to tell somebody else again tonight, is go back again. Go back again. You might have failed the first time. Let me tell you what failure is. Failure is when you don't ever try again. But failure is not true failure in the sense of what we were told, you know, in school, as long as you learn something from it. Life will teach you two things, what to do and what not to do. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I burned those boats. Three years after I got my license, my real estate license, I became a broker. Because I'm like, look, I don't have time. When George Floyd got killed, and they kept showing us day after day, this man with this knee on this other man's neck, I said, you know what? I'm going to change the face of that. I'm going to give them something to look at. You understand? I want to show them a positive Black woman who's still going to make it in 2020. That's when it happened. That's still going to make this thing work in 2021. I'm going to still keep grinding in 2022. And here we are, 2023, and we ain't stopping yet.
No, we're not. We're now, not only are we a broker, now we have a book. We have a conference. We are building up. This is amazing. I'm revitalized.
Wonderful.
Let's talk about failure a little bit, because failure, yes, the lesson learned, I guess, one of the biggest learned is perseverance, that you have persevered.
Let me tell you something. People don't know the half. When I write my next book, this is the first book I wrote, by the way. I wrote a book called Take Your Life Back, back in 2009, who my sister, Apostle Loria Morrison, called me the other day and said, Jamaica, your book fell out of my laundry room the other day. And she said, I picked it up and started reading Take Your Life Back. She said, I read it in 2 hours. She said, the information you gave in that book, she says you have to reprint it. Okay. So I've been doing this a long time. And my point of failure is, most people, in my next book, I'm going to talk about how, yeah, I became a broker. I had a nice grand opening, ribbon cutting ceremony. And the woman that I thought was going to be my partner / mentor wound up suing me. Tried to take everything I had. And I had just only been a broker 3 months. But guess what I did, Jose? That was the first year that I hit six figures. Why? I had to prove it. You're not going to kill me. You're not going to stop me. You want to bankrupt me? You want to take... Let me tell you something. You didn't give it to me, so you can't take it away.
Mm.
That's the kind of mindset you have to have. That was the first year that I had made all in one year. I made it in 1 month.
Wow.
So you want to talk about perseverance? You want to talk about keeping going when all the stakes are against you? I know about it, but I also know how to come out of it.
And that is the beauty of growth and yes. change and the experience that you have it, because it is hard for someone to see something that has not happened for them in their lives.
It's so true. You know, that's where vision comes in. Vision comes in. You know, they say, when do you start to build a building? And the answer to that is when it's finished. Let's unwrap that. Let's unpack that a little bit, right? When do you begin to build the building? When it's finished. You have to have a blueprint of the building. You have to have a blueprint. You have to have a framework. And then you can start to build. See, most people can't see themselves doing it because they can't see themselves doing it in their minds first.
Let's hold this off for the conference. It is on January 14th. And again, it's called
Quest for Success Legacy Wealth Builders Conference.
At the Omni Hotel, starts at 11 a.m. sharp. Thank you, Ms. Jamika Jeffries.
Yes.
This has been the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario for 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. God bless.